SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Hour 2 of Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. We are helping you get all of your fantasy football playoff teams in order, going all around the NBA, covering everything going on there. And we're going to go ahead and get into Wednesday's headlines. The Nets and Bulls play tonight. Great game. Huge game between two big teams in the Eastern Conference. I have no idea, no clue what they're doing with the scheduling. Why on earth is this game taking place at 10 o'clock Eastern time? This should be a 7 o'clock Eastern time game. I should be watching Nets Bulls when I eat my dinner. The NBA has lost its mind with their scheduling here. The MLB and the MLBPA, as we just discussed at the end of Hour 1, are going to be meeting on Thursday. That is a welcome relief. I'm very glad to be reporting that. We have some big games in college hoops: Villanova, Xavier, Duke, Wake Forest, Minnesota, Michigan State, LSU, Florida, Memphis, UCF, St. John's, UConn, NC State at Louisville. And I am shocked by this one, actually. Seven Alabama players have entered the transfer portal after Monday's loss. I mean, this is very bizarre, right? The reason you enter into the transfer portal, George, is to get to a school like Alabama. That seems very bizarre to me.
Well, it's extremely bizarre. So I wonder if it's one of two things. Something's going on there that we don't know about, which I don't think is the case here. Or does it have to do with money? You know, can they get more money now? Now that these players can get paid somewhat, can they get paid more someplace else? Especially if they don't think they have a big NFL future ahead of them. That's the only thing I can think of here. First two things that came to my mind. Either there's some kind of scandal that we don't know about, which I don't think is the case, you know, or it's the new money rules in college football. That's what's going on here. I would bank on the second.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I have personally, I mean, this is just me. I have loved the NIL stuff for college football. I really do think that it sort of democratizes the activity in a way, because, you know, I mean, one of the things that we know obviously about college athletics is 98%, 99% of the guys who play college football at any level are never going to have a chance to profit off of that. You know, they're never going to play professionally, even with the AAF and the USFL and the XFL out there, you know. So I love these guys being able to make some money off of their abilities. For example, you know, if football in the United States was done in the European soccer model, these guys would have been getting paid to play since they were kids, right? You know, in the way it works in Europe is that, you know, not only do you go to school or university or whatever, but you are paid for training and being a part of your youth soccer team or whatever, which I think is a much better model than the way we do things here in the United States. So that is sort of interesting. So the MLB and the MLBPA discussions, George, what do we think is going to happen? Give me your analysis of where these two sides are at right now.
All right, well, it's January 12th. All right, pitchers and catchers report about a month from now, February 16th. Most people believe that an agreement has to be in place by March 1st to not lose regular season games. Obviously, if you don't have an agreement in place until March 1st, you are losing spring training games. Okay, so really March 1st is your sort of your drop dead date for the regular season. They aren't close or really on anything here, all right? The good news tomorrow is their meeting. The good news tomorrow is that they're going to discuss a core economic proposal. My fear is, it's and the owners are presenting it, you know? And we'll welcome radio here as the 6 minutes after the hour here on Sports Grid. But my problem is this. What we've seen all along is whether the owners are going to present, the players are going to be like, no, this is not even close. It's going to make them angrier because it's not even close to what they want. The problem with this whole thing is that in the last CBA, the players feel like they got destroyed in it. And by the way, they did. All right, they lost that CBA. It was a terrible agreement for them. So they not only want to win this, they want to win it big time. And that's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to get everything they want in one CBA agreement. They're going to have to get it back in small increments here. So we need to see some progress, Davis. Any progress would be nice here. But my biggest fear is that tomorrow they're going to be like, this is what you're giving us? Throw it right back at them and We are where we are. Who's going to give in first? Who's going to give it to the other side first? And I don't think we're going to see that even close until February 1st, February 15th, somewhere around there.
So what are the big things that they're discussing? I mean, you know, one of the big things we've seen in baseball is free agency has been terrible for anyone but truly marquee free agents the last few years. So I assume that there are some proposals to try and make free agency a little bit more viable for, you know, kind of mid-tier MLB free agents.
Yeah. Right now, you get free agency after 6 years. 6 years of service time, you get free agent. The players want to lower that 5 years, 4 years, or we've even heard of an age-based system where only if you've only been in the league for 3 years, but you're an older guy, you're 30 years old, you can become a free agent. I don't see either one of these happening, by the way. Now, I think the Players Association is going to have to get their money back another way, getting rid of the qualifying overs, at least qualifying overs that then take away a pick from the team that signs them. Maybe the arbitration system can be tweaked. There'll be other things they can get rid of here. But free agency, I just don't see that changing, not dramatically. The owners aren't going to allow that. Maybe they can raise the luxury tax from, what, a 210 to 245 to get teams like the Yankees and Dodgers and Red Sox to spend even more money. It's a tricky system what they're going to have to do. But bottom line is this, they're just trying to split up billions of dollars. Get it done.
Get it done. I need to be able to be drafting, you know, Shohei Ohtani in the first round of my drafts this year, everyone. Get it together. We're going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on FST. Don't go anywhere. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Matta, giving George Kurtz a little bit of a rest as we bring in our producer, Brett Levy, off of the bench to discuss FanDuel NBA DFS tonight. We have a 9-game slate, some pretty interesting games with higher totals here. A lot of the attention is, of course, going to go to the Los Angeles Lakers against the Sacramento Kings. The Houston Rockets and the San Antonio Spurs should be playing a good game. And it is sort of interesting, Brett, as we get into discussing your lineup, but we are sort of getting pulled out of the depths of health and safety protocol problems. You know, every single night, there are not four teams that only have 8 guys active, and we don't have, you know, G League guys coming in and having to start. Every once in a while, you'll get one. We had it the other day with the Utah Jazz. They were down to they were the zombie Jazz, and they ended up being very competitive in that game. Certainly fairly interesting. But let's go ahead and get into it and start with your backcourt selections.
Yeah, so in my backcourt, I'm going with some young guys, Davis. Cole Anthony, the Magic, take on the Washington Wizards tonight, so I think that's a good matchup for the Magic. I also, you know, like Cole Anthony, he's a really good point guard for the Magic, played really well this year, averaging over 20 points on the season and north of 6 assists, so those are good numbers, Davis, especially at that price. Jalen Green, under $5,000, the price is just too low. He hasn't been playing particularly well, but he's a young player, Davis. And San Antonio is not the same San Antonio Spurs that we're used to from, like, you know, 20 of the last 22 years. So I think Jalen Green has the opportunity to take a lot of shots and make a lot of shots tonight. RJ Barrett, same kind of thing, $6,200, Knicks, Mavs. Big game. Last time these teams played against each other, RJ Barrett played pretty well, so I'm hoping he plays pretty well again tonight. And then Jalen Brunson, honestly, Davis, might end up winning the Sixth Man of the Year award at the end of the year when it's all said and done, although a lot of his best games did come as a starter when Luka was out, so might be interested in terms of the votings, but Jalen Brunson, just really good player. He's just like a pro's pro type of guy. Always going to be consistent with the basketball, make good decisions, can get a team into the offense, can kind of finish at the rim, get his own shot. So a good player at a good price, I think.
Yeah, no problem with any of these backcourt selections. I love buying the dip on Jalen Green here at under $5,000. Some of the other guys who definitely need to be considered, just very low price tag on LaMelo Ball, sitting at $8,000 on FanDuel. That's pretty appealing. Also, we have Kyrie Irving sitting here at $8,200. Just unclear what's happening with James Harden's status. He missed the other night, and this is one of the games that Kyrie Irving is allowed to play for the Brooklyn Nets. So that certainly adds a little bit of it's just so interesting that Kyrie Irving thing. It's like what are we? I don't know. I'm fascinated by all of that. And then the San Antonio Spurs have. I guess I just lied to everyone when I said that we were getting out of health and safety protocol mess, because we have one here with the Spurs. They have multiple guards in the health and safety protocols, including Derek White. That means that a guy I literally have never heard of, becoming a recurring segment here, Joshua Primo is going to be getting probably about 30 minutes as an off-the-ball guard and backup small forward tonight for the Spurs. Lonnie Walker. I'm actually a huge Lonnie Walker fan, so another option there at shooting guard. So let's go ahead and move to small forward, where I bet, no spoilers, but I bet Franz Wagner is going to feature here in the front court.
You know, Davis, I really did my best to keep him out, but $6,100, you're not getting too many 30-minute guys a night at that price. So Franz Wagner, obviously in the lineup, good matchup again. Not sure what the heck is going to go on with Washington with KCP and Montrezl Harrell tonight after their what they're calling a locker room spat the other night. So he might not even have Caldwell Pope guarding him. He could have a guy like Denny Avija guarding him, possibly a slower-footed guy. Maybe a Rui Hachimura is on him. So could be a mismatch night for Franz Wagner. Bojan Bogdanovic with Utah. You mentioned they're having some COVID issues. They're also playing Cleveland. So I think maybe being a smaller, quicker player, going up against a Markkanen or an Evan Mobley could be advantageous for Bogdanovic. Danilo Gallinari, a guy who's just coming back from injury, Davis, for the Atlanta Hawks. Look, he's just going to get there and shoot threes. If he makes four threes, Davis, probably a good play for me tonight. The Hawks will play the Miami Heat tonight. No Jimmy Butler, no Bam Adebayo. I don't think Kyle Lowry is in the lineup for them either. So really a depleted Heat team, although Omer Yurtseven continues to be a pretty good fill-in piece for them. And look, I'm going to Christian Wood and the Rockets. I like the Rockets matchup against San Antonio. Jakob Poeltl, pretty good big, but I think Christian Wood, better overall player. So I think he's the better player in the matchup. I think the Rockets have a chance to win tonight. So how did the Rockets win this game? Well, they probably need two of the three of Kevin Porter Jr., Christian Wood, and Jalen Green to play well, Davis. And, you know, I found a way to get two of those guys into this lineup.
Okay, so I do have one slight problem with your lineup here. You know I love Kevin Durant, right? You know I'm Kevin Durant, he's the best. I've always been a fan. Right now, when I am making lineups, whether it be on FanDuel, whether it be on DraftKings, I just cannot make lineups without LeBron James. LeBron is, he is turning the clock all the way back. He's playing point guard. He's playing power forward. I mean, Brett, he is doing everything right now. I think this is one of the most impressive runs of form LeBron has had, like, in his entire career.
Yeah, I was talking with some friends the other day, Davis, and I actually said it might be LeBron's best season, considering the fact that he's 37 years old and doing this. It's unbelievable. But here's the reason you play Kevin Durant tonight, Davis. It's because James Harden's questionable. You have Kyrie Irving, who I think's going to play. He made it seem like he was going to play, but the Nets listed him questionable after that. I'm not going to call it a dirty play like the Brooklyn Nets are doing, but after the questionable play in that Portland Trailblazers game with Nazir Little diving at Kyrie's ankle, he kind of landed funky, and they might miss him for a road game tonight. So with two of their stars questionable and it being an ESPN game, Davis, and it being Chicago, probably the best team, if not one of the two best teams in the East up until this point, them and Milwaukee have been probably the biggest stories in the East. So I like Kevin Durant to show up tonight and kind of put out on the, I guess you can call it the big stage. It's Wednesday Night Basketball. I don't know if you can really call it the big stage.
Yeah, I know you're right. The national TV narrative is always a good one. Kevin Durant loves the national TV games. The one you always knew who would show up on national TV. I bet you remember this, Brett, because this was happening when you were in the NBA. But Rajon Rondo on, you know, one of the TNT games, a Christmas Day game, anytime Rondo, whether it was the Celtics, whether it was the Lakers, whoever he's been on, Rondo, national TV, always going to be a good option. I think some of the other forwards that are interesting, I was just talking about how the Spurs are so thin in the front court right now. Lonnie Walker has been getting a ton of minutes, about 29 minutes a night. Kata Bates-Diop, you may remember him from when he was on the Timberwolves. Or maybe you're not a nerd like me and you don't remember guys like Kata Balde-Diop, but Kata Bates-Diop. But those guys are both going to be getting 30-ish minutes on the wing for the San Antonio Spurs. Brett mentioned Omar Yurtseven. I think he's pretty strong. Atlanta might be without Clint Capela, in which case Onyeka Okongwu would be a pretty strong option at center as well. Of course, if you guys want to play NBA DFS and get some free projections, you can get them over on dailyroto.com. Email address is all that you need there. We are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. George will be rejoining me in just a moment. Stay on the grid. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Manick, joined by George Kurtz. Before we get into breaking down some dynasty fantasy football decisions that fantasy football players are going to find themselves faced with this offseason, I need to remind everyone to be following at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on social media. You can follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. You can also follow Sports Grid on Instagram. If you do that, you're going to get some of the best analysis in the industry, written articles from SportsGrid.com, highlights from programming here on the network, analysis of injuries, line movements, and everything that you guys need to have your fantasy teams and your wagering running smoothly. Now, George, we're going to take a look at some either-ors in the Dynasty Fantasy Football arena. I have too many dynasty teams, honestly, for someone of my age and space in life. Probably need to try and trim back some of these, but we're just going to go through and decide which guy we would rather take, starting at the quarterback position with Lamar Jackson, quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens, and Kyler Murray. Both of these guys had down seasons this year, both missed time for injury. The Baltimore Ravens missed the playoffs. So Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, which direction are you going here?
You know, Davis, we tell ourselves almost every year, okay, I got to calm down with my leagues. All right. It's too many. Calm down. You know what? We never do. It's not even a worthless discussion anymore. I know I'm going to play in the leagues. I'm going to play it. And that's life. I deal with it. As for these two quarterbacks, this sort of comes down to me is, which do you believe first? Murray will be a consistent runner or Jackson will be a consistent passer? You know, I can see what Baltimore's going to do in the offseason to help out Jackson out as far as some weapons there. Marquise Brown, if he just catches that ball on Sunday, maybe Baltimore playing Kansas City and not Pittsburgh. Kyler Murray, the Cardinals obviously seemed to be at its best when he was running, and he did that last month of the season. He was running more with abandon. You know, first two-thirds of the season, not so much. And I thought they kept his numbers down a bit. I understand Hopkins was hurt all year as well. I'm going to go with Murray. I do like the more consistent passer here that I know he can throw the ball, got the better wide receiver in Hopkins, as I think he does, if Hopkins is that same guy he was with Houston. And I think Murray will run, not with abandon, mind you, but run more consistently than what he has this season. I think he and Cardinals have to realize that's what makes this offense move, is him being able to get outside the pocket and use those legs. He's so athletic.
Yeah. Now, one of the problems with Kyler Murray has been he's been injured every year of his career. He's not always missed games, but he has played through injury. And He's a small guy, right? He's about 5'10", 185, 90 pounds. It's sort of hard for a guy of Kyler Murray's size and stature to play the way he does and stay 100% healthy. And I think we've seen that in his results on the field. You know, the first half of the season versus second half of the season stats for Kyler has been, you know, it's been fairly alarming, which is certainly something to take into consideration. I'm actually going to go the other way. I am going to take Lamar. He is going to have this entire offseason to get healthy. He's also going to get all of his running backs back, which might not matter for most quarterbacks, but the way the Baltimore Ravens call their offense, you know, giving half of their team's offensive touches to Devonta Freeman, Latavius Murray, Le'Veon Bell, I think that was a huge part of why they struggled so much this season, and that should be sorted out by the time the season starts next year. So I actually am going to take Lamar Jackson here. Moving to the running back position, fairly interesting one. Clearly the number one running back in fantasy this season. Jonathan Taylor almost got to 2,000 rushing yards, although the team did really stop throwing him the ball in the second half of the season. Over the Colts' final five games, he only saw 8 total targets. And on the other side of the coin, we have the guy who has been the number one player in fantasy, at least drafted for the last several years, but really has not put anything in terms of the actual results, and that is with our guy, Christian McCaffrey. So you have Christian McCaffrey in Dynasty. Someone offers you Jonathan Taylor, George Kurtz. Are you accepting that trade?
You know what? It's fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, right? The most important ability in fantasy, really, or NFL, is availability. McCaffrey's now gone down 2 straight seasons here. I'm not so sure he's going to have that availability anymore. Taylor's the younger back. Think of what Taylor did in Carson Wentz as his quarterback. All right? I mean, it wasn't like he had some great quarterback with him where no one was ever paying attention to him. Everybody was paying attention to him, which I understand you could turn it around and be concerned about Taylor for that reason, that he's going to see a lot of 8-man boxes next year. But I'm going with Jonathan Taylor here. Younger player, healthier. It's pretty easy for me here. I'm not giving up on McCaffrey. I'm not saying I wouldn't take him in the first round, but I'm not taking him first overall. You know, that's not going to happen, which doesn't matter because I never get the first overall pick in any league. It just doesn't matter. So I won't even have to worry about this. But Jonathan Taylor for me here.
So I agree with you. And weirdly enough, I agree with you for Dynasty. I think you would much rather have Jonathan Taylor. He's a younger player. He's got this great offensive line. Hopefully they're able to figure some things out at the quarterback position. But for fantasy football next year, I can already tell I'm actually going to end up drafting a lot of Christian McCaffrey because he's not going to be the first overall pick next year. He might not even be the second overall pick. He might not even be the third overall pick. You know, I think guys like Dalvin Cook, some of these elite wide receivers, Jonathan Taylor, I think Najee Harris, depending on who the quarterback is for the Pittsburgh Steelers, is going to end up being drafted really high. And you're right, McCaffrey's been banged up. We haven't seen him. And I think there are lots of people who are in your camp of saying, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 3 times, shame on you. And I think they're not going to want to get the third season-ending injury for Christian McCaffrey. But I can already tell you, we're going to be sitting here doing this show next year, and I'm going to be saying, look, you gotta just draft Christian McCaffrey and let the chips fall where they may. Moving to the wide receiver position now, younger wide receivers who don't have any quarterbacks. We have Kadarius Toney of the New York Giants. Who knows what the situation is going to be with the Giants next year? Who's going to be the head coach? Is Daniel Jones going to be back? Who knows who's going to be quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers next year? Is Ben Roethlisberger going to fake us out with the retirement and still be the quarterback? Is it going to be Kenny Pickett? Is it going to be Dwayne Haskins? Is it going to be Jameis Winston? You know, we have no idea. Claypool, obviously an incredibly talented player. Toney, a very talented player. Both of them with limited quarterback situations. Which side of this token are you on, George?
Yeah, it's a gamble, right? Because we don't know. You have no idea who's going to be the quarterback in Pittsburgh. None. Could be another of those guys you named. Maybe it'd be Garoppolo. Maybe it'd be this guy. Maybe Cousins, that's where he ends up. Who the hell knows? It can't be Mason Rudolph. For the love of God, it can't be Mason Rudolph. I can't see Pittsburgh doing that. I do not think it'll be Ben. I don't think they want Ben back. You know, he's done. And he can't even throw the football anymore. doesn't have that kind of arm strength here. I think these are Claypool has done a little bit more on the field. We sort of know what he can be. Yeah, he made the rockhead play, I think, against Minnesota, where, you know, he cost the team some seconds there with what he did. But still, talented wide receiver. Tony, we haven't seen a whole hell of a lot of, but what we have seen looks like, he's going to be dangerous, but also hurt most of the season here, which concerns me a lot. Is he going to be that kind of player? He's slight. He's not very big. Is he going to be somebody who's always banged up here? I'm going Claypool here because I trust the offense more. Plus, Claypool will not be the number one guy there, right? Going to pay him more than Deontay Johnson. You got Fryer move there. You got a good running game there. Claypool sort of on the outskirts there, which I think could be a good thing for him. Give me Claypool, but I'll be the first to admit, if it's Rudolph, I'm a big loser here.
Yeah, I'm taking Claypool here as well. I think Daniel Jones is certainly the odds-on favorite to be quarterback of the New York Football Giants next year, whereas I think the Steelers, it could be anyone, right? It could be a rookie. It could be Andy Dalton. They could trade for someone. Could be Aaron Rodgers. Could be Russell Wilson. I mean, literally, who knows? I think there are so many different ways it could go, but I think it would be very hard for the quarterback play in Pittsburgh to be worse than it was. Now, I think this is the most interesting one of our dynasty either-ors, which is George Kittle or Kyle Pitts. And I think your immediate reaction would be, oh, well, it's obviously George Kittle, right? Of course I'm taking George Kittle. And then you look and you go, all right, well, Kittle is 28 years old, going to turn 29 next year. He hasn't had a 1,000-yard season since 2019. He's been injured each of the last two seasons. And Kyle Pitts, 1,000-yard season right away, actually set the record for rookie or was close to setting the record for rookie receiving yards by a tight end. So I think this one is fairly close, and I'm very curious your take here, George.
Listen, you can have some more negatives on Kittle. It's probably not Garoppolo next year. It's probably Trey Lance. At least I have to think it is, right? You traded all those draft picks to move up to get Lance. You didn't start him this year except an injury situation, so I got to think Lance is the guy next year and Jimmy G moves along. I could be wrong, of course, if the Niners beat the Cowboys. They have to beat the Packers too. Then all hell breaks loose. Maybe it is Jimmy G coming back next season. Maybe. So for Kittle's sake, I'd rather have Jimmy G at quarterback. You know, at least I know what I'm getting there. Pitts, you also meant, you know, in true Matt Ryan fashion, let's not use Pitts in the end zone, though, right? One touchdown this year. How does that happen when you have no one else to throw to? All right, Ridley was gone most of the year. Gage is a so-so guy here. I think in a dynasty league, I'm going Pitts. If it was a redraft league for 1 year, I'm probably going Kittle, depending on how I think it's going to work out at quarterback. But a dynasty league, I want Pitts. Maybe he will be the monster that Atlanta thinks he's going to be. Did have a pretty damn good rookie season outside of the touchdowns.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm aligned with you here, which I don't think is the popular opinion. I think the average person would rather have George Kittle. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm making this up and the average person would agree with you and I, but I certainly will be looking to buy Kyle Pitts and Dynasty a little bit this offseason. We are going to go ahead and go into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, George and I will be doing everyone's favorite game on television, which is, of course, Fantasy or reality. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. Stay on the grid, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. We are about to hop into fantasy reality, but before we get there, George, I just have, I'm always interested, people who work in the sports industry, specifically, you know, the fantasy football content world, what are your emotions like right now? How does it feel to be done with the regular season? Do you miss, you know, Thursday Night Football, Jags, Titans already? Have you already started, you know, thinking about rankings for next year? What is it like in the world of George Kurtz right now?
I don't want to say it's depressing because that's probably too strong a word, but it's like, oh, I have no lineups to set. I'm not, you know, I'm not, oh, okay, Fabs tonight. It's Wednesday night, 10 o'clock. All right, well, who am I going to get? I don't have to go through that. I guess in some ways it's a good thing. I can relax. But you said no Thursday night football. It seems like football is so far away right now, right? Saturday, I still got 3 days I have to wait. So I prefer it. I guess I prefer the excitement, the adrenaline that goes through it. I know when I won my home league, and my first thought was, oh, it was a good team. I like setting that lineup week in and week out, right? It was fun beating people up. And now it's over. Even though I won, it's over. I think it also plays into it for me is I'm a big baseball guy, just like Craig. And I don't know when baseball is starting. You know, I'm a hockey guy, but it's not the same thing as baseball and football. And it's like, oh, man, I don't know when baseball starts. So it's a little depressing knowing when the Super Bowl ends, February and March, living here in the Northeast, it's cold as hell, and there may be no light at the end of a tunnel here if these two idiots can't get along either. So it's a little bit of a letdown.
Man, it will be a gigantic letdown if we leave the Super Bowl and we don't immediately jump into fantasy baseball talk. It's going to be a gigantic bummer if we are not able to get that done, but let's turn the coin here and let's get to something a little bit happier, a little bit more fun, and get into fantasy or reality. All right, no Brett today, so I get to be both the MC and the participant in fantasy or reality today. And we're going to start here with a pretty interesting story, I think. I knew nothing about this story, which is that the Denver Broncos ownership has actually been up in flux, which I think certainly impacts, you know, who is going to be their head coach. Are they going to get Aaron Rodgers? Is any of this stuff possible or viable? We'll find out. But yeah, George, fantasy or reality, the Denver Broncos will have new ownership this offseason.
First off, that is an outstanding picture, by the way. Love the family there with the Broncos there. That's great. Good for them. I just love saying that kind of stuff there. I did know about the Broncos and their, what do you want to call it, legal problems or whatever's going on there. I don't know the great details of it, of what's going on exactly. The Bolins or, you know, everyone's fighting with each other, which is, listen, it's part of society, right? We see this with musicians when they pass away and then everyone's suing everybody trying to get any peace they can get here. I'm going to vote yes. You know, reality here, I don't know the particulars. I'm just going to take the field here that it won't be the current person, it'll be all the people going for it. So I hope it works out best for the team. I hope it works out legally where the correct person is going to be the owner of this team. You'd hope Pat Bowlen, the owner who passed off, that, you know, he had it in his will and they follow what the will says here. But everyone fights over everything in this country. We're a lawsuit society. You have any doubts? Sue them, right? It's what we are here. I'll say reality here, but in honest, I have no idea how this is going to work out.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how it's going to work out either, but I'm definitely with you. I think this is definitely a reality because it's too much money at stake, and you can't have an organization this big, especially with all of the decisions that they're going to be met with. You know, there are people that have to be hired, there are people that have to be fired. You know, getting quarterback right for the Denver Broncos, that could be a multi-million dollar decision, right? There's a big difference in terms of earnings, marketability, all of those things. If you get quarterback right versus getting it wrong. Certainly, I don't, if I was Aaron Rodgers or if I was Russell Wilson or if I was, you know, one of these elite quarterback, Kirk Cousins even, I don't think I would want to step into a situation where the ownership of the team was uncertain. So I think literally every party has the incentive to get this figured out. So I think that this is a reality as well. I think the Denver Broncos ownership situation will be figured out. I mean, maybe not particularly soon, but before the team knows who their starting quarterback is going to be next season. George, next one, we snuck in a little bit of hockey here for you. We're going to go to the Boston Bruins. Tuukka Rask. Hey, I know who Tuukka Rask is. I'm familiar with his work. Fantasy or reality, Tuukka Rask will lead the Boston Bruins to the Stanley Cup Finals. Take it away, George.
Yeah, Tuukka Rask is back with the team. He could be starting as soon as their next game. Offhand, I don't know when they play next. Could be tonight for all I know, but it'll be shortly. Tuukka Rask is he probably is a Hall of Fame goalie. I know off the break I was complaining to Davis how I think most leagues, it's not the Hall of Fame anymore. It's the Hall of Very Good. Tuukka Rask is a Hall of Fame goalie. He is good. I wouldn't call him the greatest of the great, mind you. He's not Patrick Roy. He's not Martin Brodeur, but a really, really good goalie. That being said, Boston Bruins currently have the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. And what I mean when I say that, there's really the odds of them going up, not very good. They're really stuck where they are. And I don't know if anybody's going to catch them from behind either. They actually, for that final spot, they're on an island of their own here. Goaltender, however, has not been their problem. All right, the youngsters, Ullmark, Swayman, they've played well. And now one's going to have to go probably to the taxi squad here. All right, because you're not going to be able to play because Tukarask is going to play here. I don't think he's going to be someone who plays 8 of 10 games or anything like that. I think it's more of a 60-40 split with Tukarask now. And I would think it's going to be Swayman offhand, but I'm not 100% sure on that. Will he lead them to a Stanley Cup Finals? His division features the Stanley Cup, two-time Stanley Cup defending, Tampa Bay Lightning. The Florida Panthers, who are beating the crap out of everybody and scoring goals by the truckloads this season. Really good team there. The Toronto Maple Leafs, who finally discovered that, hey, if we play defense and back check, we can be a really good team. And the Boston Bruins. The Bruins may, there's a reason why they have the wild card team in that division. They might be the fourth best team. Sorry, Bruins. I'm glad Tukarask is back. I like players who come back and play with the same team they've always been on. But you're not going to the Stanley Cup Finals. I don't know if you win round one. If you get that eighth seed right now, you're probably playing Florida or Toronto or Tampa Bay. Good luck to you. And even if you're not, if you get that eighth seed, maybe you're playing Carolina. That's no joy either, by the way. And I just don't know if you're moving up to the standings here. No, this is a fantasy. The Boston Bruins will not be in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, you are correct. I mean, Tukarask might still be good. He is 34 years old, his first season in the NHL. He played his first game all the way back in 2007. He has made 6 All-Star games. He's gotten Vezina votes. He has gotten Calder votes and stuff. Like he's clearly a very good goalie. But it's a lot to ask right now. If you go over to our friends over at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Boston Bruins are 18-1 to win the Stanley Cup. The Eastern Conference, they are behind the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're behind the Florida Panthers. They're behind the Carolina Hurricanes, behind the Pens and the Caps. I mean, they would have a long road to hoe to get all the way to the Stanley Cup and face my Colorado Avalanche, who are 5.5-1 to win the Stanley Cup. Love seeing that when I check in on the Stanley Cup odds. But look, I mean, 34-year-old goalkeepers, certainly the veteran experience will be helpful. Like, I mean, you cannot complain about Tukarask coming in. But I think also the other point you made, which is that he can't play every single night. I mean, once guys get kind of 32, 33, unless you are Patrick Waugh, Martin Brodeur, whoever, it's hard to go every single night. And even in the end, Brodeur, Waugh, a lot of those guys, they were they were twice a week goalkeepers because it's a hard position to play every single night. So no shame in that. So I'm going to answer fantasy as well. Finally here, the Super Bowl is coming. Of course, we always know there is, during the big game, as they call it, there's always lots of other oddities on TV, especially during halftime. One of the most famous of which is the Puppy Bowl. Simple question, George. You will watch 3 minutes of the Puppy Bowl, fantasy or reality?
Yeah, Davis and I are both dog people. I know Davis got a couple of dogs. I have a dog. Definitely a dog person. Love my doggy. Although for the life of me, she prefers my wife. No idea why. This is baffling. Well, it's not baffling. My wife cooks the food. Cooks her meals. I think a dog eats better than I do. Dog gets home cooked meals once or twice a day. I don't. Will I watch 3 minutes of the Puppy Bowl? 3 minutes isn't asking a lot. My guess it's still going to be under. I will see part of it. It'll be on something that I'll, browse. Will I stay and watch? Probably not. There's always a chance it could be on in the background. Does that count as me watching? Probably. Once again, probably not because I'm not paying attention to it. So I'm going to say this is a fantasy. I probably will not watch 3 minutes of the Puppy Bowl. I have no problems with it. I think it's, cute, nice, fun, for a better word. But no, I doubt I'll watch 3 minutes of it.
Yeah, this is going to be a fantasy for me as well. I mean, of course, I know what the Puppy Bowl is. I think it's on the Discovery Channel. Does that maybe Animal Planet, one of those two? I honestly couldn't even say for sure, but I'm aware of its existence. You always hear about it. You see commercials for it. George, I don't think I've ever watched it. Like, I don't even know what it is. Like, is it a dog like show where they're rewarded based on, you know, dog show stuff? Do they give them a football? Like, I don't even know what it is. Like, I don't even, like, if you flip on the puppy bowl, I don't actually even know what it is.
I haven't flipped on it on purpose, so I don't know the rules or what's going on here or anything. I just watch the dogs. I like watching dogs, especially certain breeds of dogs that I enjoy. So I don't care what they're doing on the screen. I'm just watching the dogs. Just like if you ever watched the Westminster Dog Show, which I think is, I'm not a big fan of that, but I'm watching a couple of dogs here. I don't care if they look good, if they look bad, if they're going to win the damn award or how they they prance around there. I don't care. But I will watch the doggies for a little bit. So I have no idea. I have no idea how this thing works, how they judge it by anything, who wins, who loses. To me, it doesn't even matter.
I mean, who cares? What's your normal Super Bowl watching schedule? Do you go to the bars? Do you have people over? Do you have a friend who always does it? What's your general Super Bowl watching strategy?
Well, you know, being in this business, Davis, I will likely be working. But when not working, I'll be behind the scenes. I think I'll have to work on a show or two. But if not, my wife goes to a Super Bowl party a couple of miles away. Good party. Guy has good food, drink, a lot of people. They'll have plenty of Super Bowl games they play there and raffles and stuff like that. It's a good time. That's if the Cowboys aren't involved. If the Cowboys are involved, then I'm not going to that party. I'm going to want to enjoy my game, make sure I have the seat I want to have. But I haven't had to worry about that for 26 years. So I don't know if that's going to come to fruition this year. But my wife and I do have a party we go to, but odds are I'll have to work.
Yeah. Cardano, Sussman, if you guys are watching this, count me out for the Super Bowl, because the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be in the Super Bowl. In that eventuality, I will be taking that weekend off. I will be going to Kansas City. I watched the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl win in Kansas City when they beat the San Francisco 49ers. Honestly, one of the best days of my life. I mean, just not that I'm a lifelong Chiefs fan or anything like that, but living in the city, being in a city, I've been in a city when KU has in Lawrence, when KU won a national championship, Kansas City when they won the World Series, Kansas City when they won the Super Bowl. It's really cool. If you've never had a chance to experience it, even not as a fan, it is very cool, a very unique experience, and I would encourage it. Guys, we are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll be doing the Sports Grid 60 when we get back. Stay on the grid. See you in a moment. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back from break here on Fantasy Sports Today. I am going to go ahead and close out the show with the Sports Grid 60. George and I will be going right now.
All right. Davis and I have talked about it a couple times during the show. Tomorrow, the baseball owners and the Players Association are going to meet. Listen, I don't expect any agreements to come tomorrow. I'd like it, but I don't expect any agreements to come tomorrow. What I want is hope. All right. Don't disappoint me and go, things are worse now than they were a day ago, because the owners made an offer and the players just throw it back in their faces. Let's see some progress. I will take small progress. I am not asking for much. Just some progress so I know, okay, tomorrow's the 14th. Maybe they're going to meet again on Monday. They'll take the weekend to go over the offer, and they'll have some back and forth where there'll be some negotiations. What I don't want to hear is this. The players go, oh, this offer was not even close to what we wanted. It's terrible. It doesn't solve any of our needs here. And then the words I always hate, no new negotiations are scheduled. I don't want to hear that. I don't need to be depressed here. Let's get this worked out, guys. Both sides dealing with billions of dollars. I understand both sides have issues. Figure it out. Give me some hope.
Yeah, would absolutely love some hope in the MLB, MLBPA negotiations. Don't know if we're going to get it. My Sports Grid 60 Day, playoff fantasy football. There are a number of different ways that you can play. I mentioned them a little bit earlier. The FFPC contest. Pick one player from every single team. You don't pick players from two teams. fill out your lineup. You don't have to touch it for the rest of the playoffs. Encourage you to do that. The NFC one, I think, is even better, using the multipliers. Every round that a player is in your lineup, they receive a multiplier. You are allowed to make roster moves in that one. I love both of those formats, and I hope that you guys play so you can follow along and we discuss it here on the program. That's going to do it for us here today at Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. Thank you to Brett. Thank you to George. We'll be back with Craig tomorrow. Thank you to everyone over at LTN. Have a good day, everybody. Stay on the grid.